not the footy show.
Show.
Hey, you got a tip, Bruce?
What a chop.
A chip? No, a
tip. A tip? A tip for what, brew?
The footy brew.
Oh, I can't choose, brew.
Stuck as brew.
Ah, oh, you're hopeless, brew. I always tip the Dragons, brew.
Me too, bro.
Well, that's predictable. Is that South African?
No, we're not there. Not the footy show.
Show? G'day, everyone. Welcome to 2011 Not the Footy Show season preview. Okay, it was. G'day, league lovers. It's Dave Chapman here, and this is
Nick McInerney.
And Warwick Nicholson over here. Welcome to our preview. It's big, it's huge, it's amazing. It's going to be massive. Great. We're doing every team individually. It's
we
going to
are.
Be good.
All 16 teams reviewed, previewed, everything else. Nick, what are you bringing to the table today?
Well, that roar in the background for the listeners is the 94 GF. The boys are walking
very
out
excited.
Of the tunnel, and I can tell you, Wazza, the glint in his eye, watching those camera boys walk out on the field.
Yes, it's very good.
You should be here.
We're doing it every week on Not the Footy Show. We've been watching an old game as we record the podcast. But yeah, the season preview, lads. 2 weeks to go. Here we are in the offices, and we are looking at who is going to take the title in 2011.
Oh, wow. Didn't quite answer your question there before, Wazza. What I am bringing today is
yes,
absolute
looks
confusion.
And personality.
Confusion. I hate this part of the year. I can't pick 16
can't choose,
from scratch. I can't choose, bro.
Yeah, that'd explain why we did that little skit before, everyone.
I can't do a Kiwi accent either.
Yes.
You know,
at least it's not South African, mate. Dave, yeah, what else we got in the show today? We've got all the trial scores from last night. What else, Dave?
How do you pronounce Maria's last name?
Cialis.
There we go. She's from Big League. She's going to be on the show. We've also
every
got...
Every week.
And we've also got
every
Matt
week.
On the show tonight.
Matt Duncan will be on the
from
phone
from Queensland.
Soon. Anything else, Dave,
that
you can read?
Well, we're wrapping up the trials. We're going to talk a little bit about them, at least just this weekend.
We are. We're going to have Nathan Ryan from sportsnewsfirst.com.au on the show regularly. Some pretty big guests. Brad Walter again, probably this year, from the Sydney Morning Herald. And we're hoping to get some player interviews as the season rolls around. What else have we got just here, Nick? What's this down here, mate?
That would be the new tipping comp.
We've got about 48 people in it at the moment, and the fantasy league, which we
doing
will discuss
league as well.
Later in the show. We'll go through each table, and these guys will pick their teams.
Now, just to clarify, we're not just talking about the teams. We're doing our own predictions for the whole year, who we think is going to come
oh,
in
absolutely.
Exactly which spot, who we think is going to be in the grand final,
who's going to get the covered wooden spoon,
player of the year,
like that, yeah.
All of that on Not the Footy Show, episode number...
50!
50!
Raise the bat,
century!
Raise the bat! Back after the break on Not the Footy Show.
I take your order.
Not the Footy Show.
Show?
Okay, trial news from last night. Sea Eagles 14, Warriors 12. Bulldogs 30, Raiders 18. Knights 32, Sharks 10. Tigers 19, Roosters 8. Titans 24, Cowboys 22. Eels 30, Panthers goose egg. Broncos 26, Storm 6, fellas.
How about that? The Panthers got a goose egg.
Egg. I mean, Jennings and Gordon didn't play.
Well, this is what I was about to ask you. I didn't know who... Was there a whole heap of stars that didn't play?
Well, this is the last week of... Yeah, this is the last week of trials. Obviously, we've got the World Club Challenge tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Dragons versus Wigan. Look, to be honest, this third week, usually you'll see all the superstars have a run around. It's their first sort of hit out. I mean, I know Melbourne played Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk last night.
Nice.
And Canberra are in the first try of the grand final.
Is that Ferner?
Bit of Paul Osborne genius away to David Ferner. Focus
Ferner
back on 2011, lads. Let's see 994 in the past where it belongs in those glorious years of the Raiders. The trials in week three, usually all the best players get their sort of kinks out of their system. So don't put too much stock in the results.
Still a trial match.
But
round
one, that's what's going to matter.
Okay, but it's still surprising that everyone's saying that the Cowboys aren't going to do very good, but they were only done by 2 points by the Titans.
Trial, man.
I understand, but is this because the Titans didn't have their big stars?
Nah, Titans had other players, man. Yeah.
Wow, where was it played?
Cairns, I believe.
So does that just mean that the players don't care enough to put in all the effort
they need?
Or?
They have a crack. I mean, you can't question whether they have a crack or not. I mean, it's the same thing tomorrow morning with World Club Challenge, if the Dragons aren't going to have a crack. For all intents and purposes, it's still a trial. Some of the guys who are on the fringe of selection probably, have tried to put their best foot forward a bit more than the guys who are established in the side who are just trying to get their fitness up and whatever.
Are players worried about injuries as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the injury list that I have on me is just, like, that's it over there.
Oh, wow, that is big.
It's rather large.
Rather large.
Good luck reading it, lads, because
my
writing's terrible.
There's at least
but the big news out of last
to 10
night
players from each team.
Is Justin Hodges, hamstring, 6 weeks. He's come back from Achilles, and
see,
he's
that's
gone.
That's going to muck around.
That leaves room
16.
For... Anyway, sorry.
Fantasy
league, I'm kidding.
And Justin Poore could miss the entire season.
Oh, that's no
He'd
good.
He'd been managing a knee injury, and apparently had a setback during the week, and he may need a full knee reconstruction. selection, possibly.
He was going to step up this year too.
He was. There's a whole bunch of other sort of selections that'll be issued. Josh Dugan went off the field with a calf injury in the Canberra Lost to the Dogs last night.
Could that just be safety though?
That could just be safety precaution.
Let's hope so, because he's a gun.
Obviously a couple of news during the week. Jason Kalas retired with a knee injury that limited to like four games last year. Bit of a disappointing thing because he was actually a pretty good footballer.
Yeah,
didn't get a chance really to play again in the NRL. Taniele Tuaki retired, remember that?
Yeah.
A few weeks ago. And Anthony Cherrington did his knee for the second time in 12 months. Not so happy.
Yeah.
But there's obviously a few other injuries. David Williams from the Manly Seagulls did his hammy last night as well. And William Zillman is also in some doubt for round one with a back injury. So it's interesting. It's interesting what's going on. So there's the trial news. Now, there was a big story that broke yesterday
morning. I want to talk about injuries because I get upset about this. Everyone says it's the reason why we shouldn't have trials. But people, it's footy. It's going to happen. You have to have the trials. You just got to accept that the injuries are going to happen. Stop whinging about it.
I think you'd see more injuries if we just started the season in that first
game.
Sure,
definitely.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And how happy would a fan be if that happened then? I mean...
Yeah, that's right.
Their
argument is that it doesn't matter if they do an injury during the actual rounds because they're doing their bit for the club and that. But like we just said, you've got to warm up to it. You've got to,
Well, it brings the question, should they bring back the pre-season comp?
It's not the worst idea.
Because, I mean, it doesn't hurt the AFL. I mean, they don't always put all their best players in, all their good teams. But, I mean, it gives teams that maybe aren't a huge chance at winning the title a chance to win something.
Now,
and I guess you probably develop more if you're in that competitive environment.
Take the game to the country. That's exactly what I was about to say. It takes the game to the country. And you get teams like Newtown playing in the trials. And who was the other one?
Go, Noah! Sorry.
Yes. Noah Mandruku, is it? Down the sideline.
Scotty Wilson, tackle.
I would like to see those teams brought
4-0 Canberra after about 5 minutes.
I would like to see those lesser teams, like Norths and teams like that, brought into the pre-season
competition,
not just a trial match. Because, I think they beat someone of note, didn't they? Newtown beat someone who's actually in the NRL. Anyway.
Yeah, and what year was that? 1983?
No, this 2 weeks ago.
81?
Two weeks ago, someone who's not in the current NRL beat someone who is.
Oh, yeah, that was a combined... That was Ipswich versus Melbourne in the second half of a game that Melbourne had won 34-0 in the first half. Anyway, we're going to move on from trials. It was a big story yesterday morning. Nick, did you hear about it?
Can't say I did. Living under a rock, as usual.
Nick always with his ear to the ground. Unfortunately, Todd Carney done for DUI.
Wow!
Let me play the real version of that.
How good is this?
Oh, it's good quality. Love Joey's laugh at the end.
He does that high pitch.
Do it again, Gus.
Yeah, but they love each other. Those toys. I better not say that.
Guy love.
Swing two guys. But the point is,
Todd Carney, he's on his pee plates, so you can't drink. Because you're on zero.
It's so sad, was it?
I read a bit more about that this morning. Apparently, he had a few beers on Friday night. Then had an early meeting on Saturday morning with his financial manager, thought that he'd slept it off, got in the car and got done 200 metres from his house.
Do we need to set this up for people that don't know, or do we want to... Carney got done really bad for drinking and stuff a few years back. He came back last year and was basically the Dally M medalist.
He didn't just win the Dally M.
Well, okay, sorry.
Whose photo's on that coveted award over there?
That'd be Todd Carney.
Todd Carney.
And what coveted award is that?
Of the year.
There we go.
Yes, indeed. Back again in 2011.
It's just
looking for prospective judges.
I mean, he was doing so well, and now to get done for it again,
it's disappointing.
Maybe it's just a small thing.
What more do you need to learn from last year? He covered up a lot of the stuff from his past, and what's happened has been disappointing. Look, he got away with a lot at Canberra. They ended up sitting him down and said, look, we'll keep your contract if you decide to stop drinking. And he said no, and basically banking on the fact that someone else would pick him up. Canberra had him deregistered for a year. He ended up playing in Atherton. Came back to the NRL last year, carved up beautifully. And unfortunately, he's got back on the groggers. So he says he's off it again. That's apparently what he's saying. He's going to prove people wrong.
What action is the club taking?
None. They're disappointed. But that's fair enough.
No.
Can you expect him to do anything? They're not going to do anything to that. I mean,
it's another case of the star player getting treated differently.
No. I'm going to put this out here. But if he doesn't have the history, which I mean he does, I mean granted, but if he doesn't have the history, does a club do anything to a player for that?
Anthony
Watmo lost his license the other day for going 80 km over the speed limit or something.
That's right. Yeah,
he didn't get suspended.
What meow?
He just now gets chauffeured limousine everywhere in Manly. Or he goes around on his bike.
Yeah, but the point is, was it that Canberra actually got rid of Carney a few years back because of
Well, they had how... to, mate. The numbers apparently were like something like 30-something indiscretions. Nagus may have scored. No, it's been called back. Greg McCallum, good decision.
Interesting point there. It was his, I think it was his roommate at the time was...
Steve Irwin, but not the Steve Irwin.
No. Bronx Goodwin was involved. Was one of his mates. Like
that. But yeah, the long story with him is that he stuffed up, said to Canberra, no, I don't want to stop drinking. They had him deregistered. He came back with the Roosters, didn't drink, won the Dally and White Player of the Year Award and the NRL Tweet Player of the Year
See,
Award.
This is, okay, well, and then we've got to move on. I think we should talk about this more when we've got a bit more information, because I don't even know if Todd's done a statement or anything about
it. Yeah, he said he thought in the last 24 hours he considered quitting the game.
Crickets?
Yeah. That was a short thought.
I was going to continue on with it, but we'll be talking about it.
We'll move on
long.
From that. And we'll get into the first batch of previews on Not the Footy Show's 2011 preview. Yes, okay. David.
Well, I just wanted to point out a good trial match here was the Sea Eagles versus Warriors, which was 14-12. You know, good close one. I don't know too much about who was in the side and everything, but two
I have no idea. I was playing cricket.
Two teams, which I think are going to do well this year.
Which you can probably talk about when we get to their team preview in Not the Footy Show. Nick, take us to the break with something.
Yowza! That's all I got.
Yeah. One off-season for you, wasn't it?
Was.
Selling and eating Dixie ice creams.
Not the Footy Show.
Show? Okay, Not the Footy Show listeners. Here we have Matt Duncan on the line, our leading expert up in Queensland. And we're about to preview all the teams. Matt, how are you going?
I'm good, boys. How are you today?
Very good, very
disorganized.
Good.
Disorganised.
That too?
No, we're doing really well, Matty. We're going to start with the team that got the wooden spoon in 2010. Who was that, lads?
That'd be Storm.
Storm?
Oof.
Probably the one team that could have actually beaten the Dragons, may I suggest.
Yeah, the one illegal team.
I don't want to talk about it.
All right.
Come on.
We'll get into the preview. We're going to start with the Storm. Everyone's going to give their sort of opinion on the side and then move on. Just so you know, Matty, we're currently watching Kenny Nagus run away to score a try in the 1994 Grand Final from a beautiful short ball from Paul Osborne.
There you go, Kenny Nagus, the Greg Inglis of the 90s, wasn't he? He was a Queenslander and New South Wales pinch team.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah,
stop bringing facts into the story with that we did it first. Okay, we're going to kick off with the Melbourne Storm. Currently trying to rebuild after a pretty tough 2010. Everyone knows about the salary cap drama.
And doing a good job of it, really. I mean, well, they've got a host of good youngsters that are coming into their team. Now, they've got their three nucleus that are going to lead those young players, but they've also lost a lot of middle ground.
They have.
Do we want to name them all? Or is
well, that... mate, you've got the thing in front of you. Go for it.
Oh, I can't name them all, but, I mean, Tolman and Aid...
Inglis, Blair, Hoffman, Inglis. White. Who else?
Finch.
Finch.
Lima. Those three. I was going to say. It's those three. And those three went to Wigan, so, yeah. And it's a lot of middle ground that the youngsters are... I think they'll be able to do it, but... The inexperience there is, for me, enough to say that they're not going to do as well this year as what a lot of people are hoping they're going to do.
Okay.
A lot of people are thinking that they're going to still be top six material, really, and I think they're going to struggle.
What about you, Nick?
Mate, I always see them in the top four. I think they've got a great culture there. If you look at those guys that they have lost this year, for any other club, I would say Struggle Street. Just the quality that's gone, as opposed to the guys coming in, perhaps. Although Bo Champion coming in. Kudos.
What do you think about that one, Matt?
Bo Champion?
Yeah, as a replacement for Greg Inglis. Is it pretty decent?
Last night he broke down in training last night, drove warming up for the Storm last night. But yeah.
What did he do?
I'm not sure. I think it was maybe a slight hamstring strain.
Everyone's doing the old hammy.
Yeah, but he didn't have a run last night. So I seen them in action taking on the Broncos at Dolphin Oval last night. But Champion, he's a handy pickup for the Storm, and I think he'll fit into their structure. But like you guys said, they've got their top three, but then they got a lot of youngsters, but if you cop an injury to a Smith or a Cronk or even a Slater, they struggle. I see them just on the back of Bellamy's structured coaching slipping into the back end of that top eight.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. I think they're again, you look at the three best team, the three best players on any side, and they've got as three good players as anybody else. So, for mine, that gets them into the finals.
Well, yeah.
Home ground advantage as well. Playing at Amy Park is going to be... I mean, it's not the same place, I guess, as what Olympic Park was, but it's advantage,
better.
That's for sure.
It's awesome.
They've got pretty good depth out wide. It's up front, I think, where the Storm may struggle. What were your impressions on the front rowers for the Storm last night?
Well, I was going to say they were absolutely owned by the Broncos last night, and the Broncos didn't have Hannah all Friday, but... Cronk and even Dane Carlaw, Scotty Anderson just ran over the top of the Melbourne Storms Melbourne Storm all night.
Yeah, that's going to be the concern. I mean, they're
in the forwards
on their depth chart. Their depth chart is Thompson, Troy Thompson, Brian Norrie, Jamin Lowe, Adam Warnow, and a bunch of young kids. Yeah, not exactly the same depth. I mean, I guess compared to the Broncos, which have got about eight quality front rowers to pick from, it was always going to be a trouble. So that's actually a good point to sort of look forward to everybody with the Storm. Because you need that ability in the middle of the ruck. I must admit, I've got to point this out, Craig Bellamy actually made a comment. He's made a comment a few times about all the new forwards that have come to the Storm needing to work on their technique. And I wonder what he means by that.
Oh, you mean no chicken wings?
I didn't say it, though. I didn't say it.
I did.
But I do know that he said in a couple of interviews that they've got a lot to learn about the techniques that the Storm employ, which I thought was
interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, they've got to learn the wrestling arts. Okay.
What was it? Do they seem to have that, the wrestling still pretty good last night, Matt?
No, you didn't see a lot of the wrestling last night. The Broncos were a lot of quick play, the balls. No, the wrestling wasn't there. Bellamy, if you see the traditional, those great Storm sides over the years, I think it's those, as well as their good wrestling techniques, some of those great lines their forwards run time after time in a set. And I think that's what probably Bellamy was alluding to with their techniques, because they were a bit all over the place last night.
Okay, well, let's go for a prediction, lads.
Can I just add one more thing to that?
You may.
Part of why I think they won't do as well this year is because for younger players, getting the errors out of your game is a big thing.
Mm.
And especially in the forwards, they seem to make a lot of errors. And they've got younger forwards who, you know, aren't as well honed, and I think that'll hinder them to a degree.
They do have an advantage, obviously. Cameron Smith and Kipper Cronk running the team, that does help.
That is a massive,
young
fellas.
All right, boys, I want predictions. Give me your spot on the ladder for the Storm. Nick?
All right, perhaps it's because I still see them as the mighty Storm. I've slotted them in at fourth.
Fourth? Dave?
I had them in at number seven, but I've had another think about it, and I'm going to drop them to nine.
Oi!
Just out of the
eight. Matty?
I've got them at seven.
Okay, I've got them in fifth. All right, we'll move on to the next team after the break on Not the Footy Show.
19,
hit me, 20, hit me, 21, hit me,
22. Don't!
Not the Footy Show.
Sure.
So we're going to the Cowboys. Dave, do you want to kick us off with the Cowboys?
The Cowboys, we've got them here. Look, the Cowboys aren't looking too good this year. I mean, the thing is, here's the thing.
They didn't look good last year or the year before that.
Well, this is what I was going to say. When I was trying to make my predictions for who was going to end up where, I kept on looking at it and I'm thinking every team is looking like they're going to be stronger this year. But because of that, you've got to say that the teams that were down the bottom last year are going to find it very hard to rise up through the ranks. So, yes, they've got some stronger people coming in.
They made massive turnover. I think Nick, you pointed out, it's about 15 changes.
Something like that.
Something ridiculous number.
It's massive.
Yeah, lots have gone out and lots have come in. The key people that have come in, I think, are Dallas Johnson and Brett Tate.
But now, Tatey, gone!
But he's gone, and there's a young fella that was very keen on by the name of, and I can never pronounce it right, Khalifa Fifi Lowe.
Just call him Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum, that's all you want to remember.
Fee-Fi-Fo-Fum, Hee-Hi-Ho-Hum,
interestingly enough, didn't make the squad for the last trial.
Which, ouch. Yeah, they just tried some other people.
Neil Henry decided that Michael Barney and Ash Graham are better options on the wings.
So not. But, if the coach goes that way, then they're going to be less effective.
Well, what they do last year with those guys? They're probably the worst flankers in the game. Laurie Daly just scoring a try for Canberra, that amazing halfway run.
Oh, that
Canberra crushing the Bulldogs in the 94 grand final. Matt, what are your impressions on the Cowboys?
Okay, well, a bit of a bombshell here, boys. I think they'll be the minor premiers.
Wow!
Wow! Wow! Wow! Kiss it on! Wow!
I am speechless. I am without speech.
Okay,
a bit of a bombshell. That was the biggest understatement I've ever heard.
Yeah, in the words of Pauline Hanson, please explain.
Please explain.
Yeah, I just like with that promise so much the last couple of years. I think was
they have
the
not
team to beat. What was it in
2008? 2008, yeah. TGB paid me to say that. Gee whiz, they didn't pay me again the next year for obvious reasons.
Yeah, they just haven't delivered. I think the weight of expectation on the last couple of years, they're from such a small town. I went up to Townsville for the very first time last year when they took on the Broncos. It's such a football-mad town, absolutely unbelievable. And I just think the weight of expectation has been weighing on them the last couple of years. I think some of their buys, while their on-field performance has been okay for them, probably not the type of off-field and the type of trainers you want, and I'm looking at maybe Carl Webb and Willie Mason and those type of blokes. They've left the club now. the real key buy for me is who they've bought in. It was a really late season buy. It was young Benny Jones from the Roosters.
To play 5'8".
Yeah, I think he'll really suit Jonathan Thurston's style of play, and I think he'll take a bit of pressure off JT. He actually reminds me a bit of when JT, even though Thurston was probably a little bit more ahead in his career, Thurston was this boom young player at the Bulldogs, just couldn't crack it in the first grade side, went off to the Cowboys and become a superstar. I can see similar things for Benny Jones. Wow. The raps on him, he's from Redcliffe, my part of the world.
Ah, that explains it. Yeah, there it is.
No, that's a good point, though, because he knows a lot of
Yeah, exactly right.
On. And I like, you mentioned the young winger from the Dragons, old Fifi, Fifi, Lower.
Fifi, Fofum, Hi Ho Hum. أنا بوتش وخطير وسعود هشون جماهير.
They've got the two Sims boys. Ashton, look, he's just a solid player, but they've got his brother, who no doubt is the reason they bought Ashton as well. Tariq, who's was a real... I know the Broncos were dirty that they lost him. Dallas Johnson's going to add so much to that pack.
He will, won't he?
And you've got some of the other honest toilers like Thorby and Glenn Hall as well. Tate will come back in the end, in the second part of the season, and you've got a bit of Bowen and there's some magic thrown in. I just think they're going to be the real surprise packet, so they'll jump out of the barriers, so to speak, early, and maybe similar to the type of year the Panthers had last year. I just think they'll be a real surprise pack.
Okay.
I think they'll play some good football, and I think they'll be the minor premiers.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Wow. So you've got them at number one.
Well, it's the minor premiership. Don't think they'll win the grand final, but
Don't reveal. Don't reveal. Got to save that for later.
For now, we're just talking 26
rounds. Yeah, that's a big enough scoop for anybody. Nick, who do you like? What do you like the Cowboys?
Where have I got him? Well, I have got him in...
polar opposite.
Yeah, almost 15th. Because last year, I just thought their attitude on the field looked really average.
Yeah.
I know they got a complete clean out, so... I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and say that I would love to see them prove me wrong.
I would love to see them do well, but I just can't.
Them. But yeah, they just even Thurston to a point looked like he just gave up hope last year. He started off strong and then he kind of went.
That's my big criticism on him. Like, when his team's getting pretty well beaten on the scoreboard, he seems to blow up at everyone but himself.
Well, he keeps up the show for quite some time. Mm. But it's only so much you can 15th. Do with a bunch of other guys around.
What about you?
I'm
with Matt in that I think they're going to definitely improve from last year because they couldn't have played much worse.
But every team looks like that. Every team.
I have to make a decision, man. Sorry for making a decision. Okay. I've got them in 13th. I think they'll improve their home record, and that gets them two or three spots up on the ladder. So there's the North Queensland Cowboys.
And then the next team that we're talking about.
Which one would that be, Dave?
That would be the Sharks.
Dun-dun.
Now, this is the team that I wanted to make a comment about with the Roosters.
Yes.
I was sitting there thinking, should the Sharks go above or below the Roosters? The Cowboys.
Mm.
But the Cowboys, like Matt has been saying, have recruited a bit better and look like they could do a lot better. The Sharks, on the other hand, I mean, they've made changes, but they've not made any massive... I mean, they've got a few good players and the new coach is going to do a bit more with them. But I just can't see that much difference happening with this team. They're going to be... better on paper, but again, all the other teams look better, so I can't move them up above.
All right, I'm not sure. Yeah, okay, yep.
Okay, sorry.
I don't know where you end up with that, but Matt, what are your impressions on the Sharkies?
No, Sharks can't have them. They'll run close to last at first. I've got them slotted in for 15th. None of their boys have impressed me. They're all your second tier type of players. Jeremy Smith, will add a bit of starch to their pack, but they weren't really lacking a hard hitting second rower.
Completely agree.
Not for mine.
Yeah, I think Wade Graham's their X factor in terms of a purchase. He does have a bit of ability, but unfortunate thing for looking at where they played him in this last trial, they played him at halfback, and I think he's a pure 5'8". So they're also going with Albert Kelly in the halves. Tim Smith looks like he may miss out in round one. I actually think their best half in their club is probably Scott Porter, and he actually is coming off a knee reco, which is no good. Nathan Gardner's pretty exciting, but I'm with you. I just think the whole thing about the Sharks is... they can defend. They got to a preliminary final back in 2008 because they could defend and had Brett Camorley's organisational skill. But unfortunately, defence is the kind of thing that you can't just maintain year after year after year. Eventually, you just run out of juice. I think they might struggle as well. I've got them all the way in
Yeah, last. Nick, what about you?
Not much to add to that one. I've got him at the bottom again. I just can't see it changing last year. I just watched him play last year and never expected them to win. I couldn't tip them.
Yep.
And I haven't seen much change as far as their squad goes. So, yeah, sell the door.
Points is their biggest issue. I mean, we watched them in a trial at Manly, the first trial of the year. I was just completely involved in another conversation. That's how exciting they were to watch an attack. They're going to struggle to score points. I think someone put a stat up the other day. They scored in 120 minutes of football or something. They've scored two tries in trial football.
They do have a new coach in Flanagan.
He took over in midway through last year.
Yeah, but he had nothing to work with halfway through the year.
He hasn't got much to work with this year.
Yes, he does. He has a whole off season to work with, and he has said that he's going to focus on getting those halves to be a bit more attacking, so that the rest of the team can follow suit.
Yes, but that's what everyone says.
Well, that's true.
Apparently, the tip that they had from the Sharks was that they'd simplified their attack, which I thought was pretty hard, given that last year looked pretty simple and it was simply bad.
Is Snowden going to move somewhere else?
Snowden,
because if he does,
will only make his decision on his future after Tinkler has.
Well, that's right, but that's going to happen. If that happens in the next little bit, then Snowden will make his decision, and if he makes the decision to leave, I think the club or the players will be a bit disheartened by that.
They'll have money to pay somebody else to play the back row for him and pay him millions of dollars. We'll move on to the Bulldogs, a team that let everybody down, particularly me in the old tipping stakes last year.
Yeah.
I think I got burnt many times in that first 10 weeks. They finished 13th last year, 9-15, had about two bright spots in the whole season. Managed to win at Brookvale in the last round, but they've again made massive changes. They've probably had the most impressive off-season buying spree. They've got the likes of Tolman, Hodkinson, Pritchard, Eastwood, these kind of guys. Pretty good pickups. What are the impressions, Nick, of the Bulldogs heading into 2011?
Same as you was last year, kept tipping them. We kept thinking they were going to win. On paper, great team. Some really talented players coming through, like Barber, who they just refused to give a run.
Yeah, that's right.
If that guy plays every game, well, they're a chance for the eight, I reckon. I've still got him outside.
Exactly, because
I don't know if he will.
The coach doesn't know what he's doing.
And you just don't know what's going to happen.
Moore's got no idea.
But look at these players coming in. They're all quality, really.
Yep.
They haven't lost to...
They lost three important players in Kamali. Ben Hannett and Luke Patton. But yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Matt, what are your impressions on their buying spree? Do you think it's going to make a big difference to their side?
Oh, I don't think it's as good as the buying spree they had a couple of years ago when they bought Ennis and Hennett and Naughty into that side. And you know, they had that huge year 2 years ago. Solid buys again. You know, Tolman will be good for them. But again, probably just that at that second tier. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Hodkinson. I don't know if he's worth the money that they paid for him yet.
They paid well and truly overs for what they'd seen, I think.
They've paid him on potential, no doubt. And yeah, they've got Eastwood back there as well, and Pritchard. I can't really get a read on them, and you know, I've got them running about midfield out of the eight.
Okay, what position have you got them in?
11th.
11th for the Bulldogs.
I had them in 10th.
Dave got them in
10th. Yeah.
Nick, where do you have them?
I got them in 11th as well.
Yeah, I've got them finishing 12th, which I think a lot of Bulldogs fans won't be happy with. I think that's the biggest problem.
Most Bulldogs fans are expecting them to...
Oh, but they should be, because they had a great year in 2009 with probably a lesser roster in some respects.
Yes, but Moore...
Kevin Moore's the issue.
They
changed their style last year from an attacking, attractive football side.
And he's stuck to it all year, and he seems like it's the way he wants to go.
Once they got a lead, he put the cue in the rack.
What's going on?
I can't pick the Bulldogs to make the eight until I see Kevin Moore change his tactics. And
if he does,
that's the big concern for me. I've got him missing the eight. I've got him in 12th. And that is the Bulldogs. Any other comments on the Bulldogs before we move on, lads?
I think most people are going to expect them to do better than what they're going to do. And I just think they're going to be a disappointment again. And I hope they're not. Again, I hope they're not. I hope they're... Because there are a lot of Bulldogs fans out there and no one wants to see them disappointed, but...
I do like the Bulldogs fans, have to say.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yes, well said, Dragons boy.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on to the Parramatta Eels, a team that made the grand final in 2009 with a Cinderella run. And then they turned it into pumpkin last year and, finished in 12th position. Even blew really a chance at the end of the year to make the finals. Matty, what are your impressions of the Eels, considering they've had a massive turnover in quality players and they've brought in about 84 blokes over the age of 30?
Well, when I looked at their buys, I thought the guys from Triple M had put together a kind of all-star Queensland team again to play another testimonial match with the likes of, you know, Webb and Walker and Casey Maguire. I, I just can't believe anyone's paid money for those guys.
Well, Eels have spent their hard-earned.
Yeah.
They had plenty of money when they let Kalis, Inu, Growth, Tahu go. Yeah.
It
boggles the mind, doesn't it?
It's just unbelievable. And I've got the running Stone Motherless. I can't see them firing.
Stone Motherless?
Good luck to the new coach. He's going to need it. You know, I just can't see any good coming out of Parramatta this year.
Their biggest issue was their halves last year. They just created absolutely nothing. I thought Jared Hayne had a very good season last year, to be perfectly honest. But there's not much you can do when you got halves. You have just zero attacking potency.
No, that's exactly
right. Yeah, that's true.
Because their forward pack did a good job there.
I
think defensively, they were fine last year.
Don't forget they had coach problems as well.
Mate, that was a power play from someone else who wanted Stephen Kearney charge, mate. Kearney, that's controversy.
Yeah, okay, but if that's happening with your head coach, then surely there's not going to be as much passion there from him. And as you know,
if I was trying to restart my club, Daniel Anderson would be one of the first I'd give a call to. The decision I couldn't understand was letting Felitti Mateo go. He was a bit of an X factor for them alongside Hain, and they let him go to bring in, as you say, Matua, Webb, Walker, Fetawira, Hicks. Just big issues for the Eels. Nick, you've been very silent over there. I know you love your Eels. What are your thoughts?
They crushed me last year. I really wanted them to do well off the back of that run they had the year before. And to be completely honest, they sucked. I can't see it changing too much this year either. They've got some talent, but like you say, like I'm looking at the guys they lost. They appear to have lost one of their boys twice in the list that I'm reading too, which always hurts.
They've lost
Crisen and Inu twice, which hurts. Eric Growth, Tahu,
yeah,
and Mateo. I loved Mateo. That guy is one of the most exciting players when he gets going.
Yeah. Where you got him finishing?
I've got him 10th. Another kind of disappointing year for the Eels. Yeah.
So a little bit of an improvement on this year, Dave.
I've got him in 12th, only because I see other teams doing better than them. They're one of those teams that are hard to read. You're right. You can't look. Their buys aren't that bad. I think Carl Webb's going to do a lot better this year. But well, why are you looking at me like that, Phil?
It's all right. Just a bit of by play.
Oh, okay. Yes, all right. Yeah, look, 12th. That's my pick, 12th.
All right. As I said, I have them in 15th. Matt's got them in 16th. Jared Hayne and Ray Jared Hayne. It's going to be a lean year for the Eels. Not the footy show.
Show?
Okay, next team on the schedule. Nick, who is up?
The mighty Knigets.
The Knigets?
The Knigets.
The who?
The Knights.
Castle Knights. Yeah, I want to fix that up. Made a little late run at the playoffs last year, but generally had a pretty poor year. They finished 10-14. In 11th, they've got Neville Costigan coming in, Chris Houston, Bo Henry, Sia Tonga Licky Licky, the best name in rugby league. Steve Sutherland and Kyle O'Donnell, who's Luke O'Donnell's younger brother. A few changes there, nothing major. What are your thoughts, Dave, on their ability to, improve by a couple of positions and make the eight?
No, I don't think so. I think they're going to fall this year. Like I keep saying, I mean, I know I've got to justify my decisions by putting these teams down the bottom just by the fact that there's so many other teams that have got to get in ahead of them. The Knights on paper look like they're going to do a lot better, but when you say that, they've got... Now, Neville Costigan's a good pickup. Chris Houston, however you want to say it. He's a decent player, but he's nothing special. And then you've got three young blokes and it has been. I mean, I don't like to be harsh, but Bo Henry, Licky Licky and Kyle O'Donnell will be very good players in the future, but like I say, I'm a bit... Younger players, they do need time to, you know, pick themselves up and get themselves in the groove. Apart from that, nothing else has changed.
So playoffs or no playoffs for the Elders?
No, I've got them quite low. I've got them down in 14th.
Okay. Matt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, they're the same as Dave. They're another side that are hard to read. They overachieved for mine last year, but I can't see them improving. I actually think they'll go backwards. I've got them running 14th.
Okay.
What are the odds? 14th from Nick as well.
Wow.
And where have I got them finishing?
They can attack, but
last year... Guess where I've got them finishing, lads.
Rubbish defence.
14th!
Consensus.
All four of us.
Rack them up, we won the pokies.
Remember that for the end of the year. And if they finish 14th, we're the biggest geniuses alive.
Maybe. To be honest, I prefer to get the team that's going to win the comp right.
Well, true. Finish
14th.
Well, okay, true.
Right. I got to be honest. I love watching Akile Yuate play in the Junior Sal, the biscuit.
Yep.
Bit still disappointed we let him go from the Raiders a few years
ago. They just don't seem to have that...
Jared Mullen at halfback I do like. I think Kirk Gidley has to stay at fullback for them to be an effective team. But
definitely.
Just not enough quality, I think, particularly up front, to really make a big impact on games.
They lack consistency.
And they've got James McManus on the wing. That never helps.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Knights, I think we've all said, 14th from the Not the Footy Show crew. And after the break, we'll be back with the mighty Brisbane
Broncos.
Thanks, Dave. Is that what you were looking for?
Throw me a frickin' bone here. I'm the boss. Need the info.
Not the Footy Show.
So, the Broncos, tough year as a Broncos supporter last year, of course, missing the finals for the first time in a long, long time, and then an eventful week last week with the coach gone three weeks before the season proper. So, before that, when Ivan's still in charge, I had the Broncos running eighth, but with their new coach, Anthony Griffin, big raps on him from me and anyone you talk to and anyone he's been coached by.
Yep.
He's a great... He saw its peak at the right time so well. All, you know, they play their best football at the end of the season, which has been probably the Broncos' downfall. You know, in seasons gone by, they really come out running hard and start the season so well and then fall away. I think Griffin just peaks his side so well. He's got the respect of all the players. On what I saw last night, it's only trial form. They look very impressive. Lockie looked very sharp. He looked very fit. And the forwards, like we mentioned earlier, you know, there's no doubting the Broncos forward pack. You know, you had Hannett into that side. It's already got Thaiday and T.O. and your hard-working Parker. I've got them running fourth.
Okay.
Wow.
That's the level of rap that you give Anthony Griffin, which is fair enough, as I said. I think the big issue that we sort of identified with the Broncos was that the players didn't exactly adore Ivan Hanjak, but he was always coming into a tough job. He was following Wayne Bennett, and he's going to do things differently. A lot of the players would have played under Bennett. It's never going to go down quite as well. Nick, the Broncos, you're a bit of a rap on them over the last few years.
Oh, get them up here, I want to book them. last year, absolutely loved them and was tipping them halfway through the season to go all the way, at least for the...
Then Darren Lockyer had a busted rib, and it was all she wrote.
And then, I just couldn't believe as I watched every game tipping them to win by 50 that they just fell apart without him.
This is the third or fourth team that you've said that about. How did you go in the tipping last year? You finished down the bottom?
It wasn't too bad. It
didn't go too bad,
actually. Okay. It was pretty good. There's a couple of teams hurt me. I did have maybe high expectations. But I couldn't believe that when you take one player out like that, it would make such a difference. And that's a massive rap on Lockyer and who he is and his organisational skills.
We've seen that in the past, though, with a lot of teams. That you take
Andrew
one
Johnson
player
and
this is exactly. That was my...
But I just thought they had more depth than that. Anyway, he looks sensational. Last year was one of the greatest years I think I've seen him play. He must have bought a new set of legs off eBay or something. looking as good
well
as
on eBay
ever.
To get good legs on eBay.
I've got them in fifth. I really rate them as a very high chance. Wow. And when they're in the finals, like I just think Brisbane are always a team that's going to be up there.
Based on what I said about the Melbourne, I've got to say similar stuff about the Broncos. They've lost quite a lot of middle ground, I think. And they've only signed one big signing is Ben Hannett for mine. There's a lot of young players in this side that I think are going to make a few mistakes here and there.
You love young players making mistakes, don't you, Dave?
Well, I just...
I can't wait
no,
to go
I don't
to the
love
Dragons
it.
And you say, oh, this kid, he's going to be awesome. Carl Stanley, the greatest player ever. You know, all these players. Dan Hunt, oh, he's going to be amazing.
Well, but
just to
be fair...
Just take a hold in your
theory,
no, okay,
right? Well, it's fair enough. But to be fair on me, the young players do need to learn the trade a bit more.
They do.
And... I mean, you guys have got
quite high. They've got a pretty good teacher with the old Darren Lockyer there, I've got to say.
But like I said before, there's so many other teams that I see is going to be strong.
All right, so where have you got the Broncos ending up?
I've got them in 13th.
Whoa!
Oh, yowza.
That's not too far from mine, to be honest. But the question I wanted to, before I give my tip to Matt over there, what are they going to do with their back row? Because they've got about 84 players for their back row.
Is that
and
it?
Even if they move one of them to the front row, they're going to have 94 players in the front row. What are they doing in their pack?
Yeah, I think they're just going to have to, you know, a bit of a raffle before every game to see who gets the run there at the moment. I'm not sure. You're right. There's a heap of second rowers and good second rowers there at the moment. So I'm not sure what Hook Griffin's idea of who's going to play there. He started with Alex Glenn and Matty Gillette last night in the trial, but that's probably not the best indicator that what's going to happen. You'd imagine the starting back row, my thoughts are it's probably going to be T.O. Thaiday and Parker and have Gillette coming off the bench. With Hodges' injury last night,
yeah, that's true,
Glenn will probably start the year in the centres,
I'd say.
So just off the back row for the minute, the other quick point I wanted to make is Josh Hoffman's game last night was as good as any fullback's game I've seen in a long, long time. Okay. I think he's going to take it to the next level this year, and he's going to be spoken about, you know, alongside the likes of your Slaters and that. I think he could have a really huge year, and he's the X factor for the Broncos along with Lockyer this year.
Quick one on Sam Thaiday.
Third man Thaiday.
Was there any talk about how he's going with his groin injury?
Indications are it's no major concern. Could have played if it was a game last night, but thought, well, let's give him the extra fortnight off. Whether that was a bit of spin, I'm not sure, but there didn't seem to be too much concern around about it.
Okay, well, with that in mind, I still have the Broncos in 11th. I think I mean, that was where I had them before the Henjack debacle, but I actually thought he'd lose his job early on or halfway through the season as it was. Obviously, Lockyer is the barometer to success for them, and Hodges staying the year injured, that hurts. Because I thought their back line outside of Hoffman and Hodges was extremely thin. I know you're a rap on Jack Reed, who might get a start in round one from up there, but look, I just think Peter Wallace, I've got no confidence in whatsoever. I think they've got almost too many good players up front to give enough minutes, quality minutes to. That's something I thought that Henjack didn't really control very well last year at his front row. I've got the Broncos missing the finals for the second straight year. I've got them in 11th.
Yeah.
Lockyer is my question.
Yes.
How do you really think he's going to step it up this year?
He's a gun. Shush. Quiet time.
I know, but...
Legend.
Okay.
All right. We'll move on to the South Sydney Rabbitohs to wrap up the bottom eight from last year. And Dave, do you want to just give us a little rundown on what's happened in the off-season for the Bunnies?
The Rabbitohs were, well, first of all, they got Inglis. Then they've picked up a few players, but the TAB had them at like third favourite or something to win the whole competition. And then in the trials, they've just not really delivered very well. Sando and Sutton, while having all the potential in the world, just don't seem to be delivering. And while I thought they were going to do well a few weeks back, I've had to drop them down really quite low. I've got them in 11th. I don't know. They just seem to be the team that always promises and never delivers.
So they're not the postman. That's what you're saying.
That's right.
So where have you got them finishing? 11th.
11.
You say?
11.
Did you
say?
Nick.
Oof. I'm going the other way with these guys. I think last year, pretty new sort of squad. Got in a lot of players. It'll do them good having played with each other for a year. They haven't changed a lot.
Apart from Greg Inglis.
Well, it's adding him in, though. I mean, come on.
That's true.
That's massive. A massive in for them.
They did have lots of injuries last year, too.
Yeah, they struggled with injuries. I think that they'll come together as a squad, and I really hope that Sandow and Sutton sort it out, because freaky dicky when it gets going.
Interesting. John Lang came out the other day and said that they just lost young under 20s halfback from last year, Adam Reynolds, to a knee recon. He actually admitted, he said, cut no more halves. So it's going to be Sutton and Sando all year, everybody.
They need them.
Where have you got them finishing, mate?
I have them in third.
Whoa!
Wow!
Controversial.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Matty, how about you, mate?
Yeah, I've got them in ninth. They can't do better than that with their halves.
Short and sharp.
Zing. I like it.
From Mr. Peninsula.
Straight to the point.
I've got the Rabbitohs in the eight. They're going to get guys like Sam Burgess back from injury. I think Roy Asatasi is going to have a huge year. Canberra to score 22-6 just after halftime. I wonder who wins this game. Yeah. Look, I just think they've got a lot of quality players. Inglis is coming to that side. His real worth is going to be at the back end of the season when he's up, fit and firing. And he's a big match player. So I actually think they'll make the eight. I've got him finishing in sixth spot. I just think there's a little bit too much class there. Again, I go back to choose the best pure four or five players in each roster, and they've got a very high-end, top-quality group of players. I've got them finishing in a six for the Bunnies. I think they will contend in 2011. And that's the group of eight teams that finished from 9th to 16th in 2010. After another segment, we'll be back with the top eight, and I am sure that we'll see who's picked to win the comp in 2011 in that group.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go fill my freezer with my own blood.
Not the footy show.
Show?
G'day, everyone. Well, we had a bit of a travesty yesterday. All the boys were in the studio. We were recording. We recorded a 55-minute part two, which went through all the top eight teams from last year, gave you our predictions, pumped up the tipping comp, pumped up the fantasy league. But unfortunately, as I was saving the file, the hard drive that it was on completely crashed. Unfortunately, the program that we recorded on was on that hard drive as well. So we actually lost 55 minutes of gold, my friends, unfortunately. Not much we can do about it. We did another recording, and that stuffed up as well. We ended up recording on my phone. The quality's pretty good, not quite as good as normal. But just letting you know that the last part of the Not the Footy Show season preview for 2011 isn't quite as good as what it was. And I promise it was good. Unfortunately, we just couldn't do anything about it. And yeah, as I said about four times in this little comment, it's unfortunate. So here's the rest of the podcast. Sorry again, nothing much we can do about it. We're as annoyed as you would be.
Not the Footy Show. Show?
It's a sad day for Toji. My computer has completely had a... there's no words that can describe it. We've just recorded another recording.
The second recording.
That cut it down from about 40 minutes to about 15. And
it did record again.
The recording software is obviously in a world of hurt.
Henceforth, it is currently out the window in a million tiny pieces.
So this is our preview in the short version. Where we think teams are going to finish. We would have...
Let's move on. Team morale is low.
Team morale has just gone down the gurgler.
We are plugging on.
I'm just going to ask everybody just to give me exactly where they think teams will finish in the top eight teams from last year, which we just did, everyone. It was great. No explanations are required because we don't have the energy to say it for the fourth time. Okay. Seagulls, playoffs, yes, no?
Yes, I've got them finishing in fourth.
Nick,
I think specials.
13th.
Matt and I have got them in 10th. No chance. Seagulls, bye-bye. Warriors.
The Warriors, 9th, just missing out.
The Warriors will stay where they are, 5th.
I've got the Warriors in 5th, according to Matt. I have the Warriors in 7th, but I don't think they can make the GF. We have the Raiders.
The Raiders are going to finish 6th. One better than last year.
I have them... 12th, but I'm ready to be proven wrong.
Plenty of good reasons why this team's good, but it's all been lost to technology. Thank you. It's Canberra, 6, according to Matt. I have them in as high as 3rd. Panthers.
8th.
They did well last year.
And Matt, 13th.
And he's ruined it.
He has. We think they can still make the finals after a pretty good 2010.
They're a solid team, but they don't have the space.
Titans.
Titans are going to finish same as last year as well. I've got them in at 3rd.
3rd, a little lower in at 7th.
I've got them in at 9th. I think they missed the finals, and Matt agrees. Matt has them down in 12th position. The Tigers.
Tigers are specials. They're going to finish 2nd.
2nd, carbon up.
They're a very good team, and they've got a lot of depth, and they're not too much change from
Benji
last
Marshall, year. Robbie Farah, hello. Playoffs. Matt has the Tigers in 3rd. I have them in 2nd spot. Then we have the Roosters, who were runners-up last year. Will they return to the promised land?
They're going to slip down to 7th.
Yes. 7th? Not as promised. 6th.
6th. I have the Roosters in a 4th seed. Matt has them in a 2nd seed. We think they are well and truly talented enough with that scrum-based combination to make it back to the finals. And, of course, the Premiers, the Dragons, 32 points to 8 winners over the Roosters last year. Do we think they can be topped for the minor premiership, Dave?
No, we don't. Back-to-back minor premierships.
Back-to-back-to.
Yeah, I've got them sitting in that number one seat as well. I think they're a team built for the regular season.
However...
And Matt has thrown another spanner in the works. Not only did he pick the Cowboys to finish in that minor premier spot, he has the Dragons in 9th. Yes, the Dragons...
In 9th.
Thank you. That's the regular season predictions for us. Again, we apologise. There's nothing we can do about it. We lost the rest of that audio, which was fantastic.
We couldn't do diddly-poo offensively. We couldn't make a first down. We couldn't run the ball. We didn't try to run the ball. We couldn't complete a pass. We sucked. That was a disgraceful performance, in my opinion.
Oh, man. Okay, we have our top eights, boys. We're going to race through this because life is way too short, as we just found out. Matt's top eight in 2011 will be the Cowboys, the Roosters, the Tigers, the Broncos, the Warriors, the Raiders, the Storm, and the Bunnies. Dave?
I've got the Dragons at number one, Tigers at number two, Titans at number three, Eagles at number four, Warriors at number five, Raiders at number six, Roosters at number seven, and Panthers at number eight.
Nick.
Okay, Dragons, Tigers, Rabbitohs, Storm, Broncos, Roosters, Titans, Panthers, was?
Yes, I have the Dragons as my premiers, followed by the Tigers, Raiders, Roosters, Storm, Rabbitohs, Warriors, and the Penrith Panthers. Origin result?
New South Wales, 2-1.
Queensland, 2-1.
And I've got New South Wales, 2-1. No surprises, the only Queenslander on the panel says 3-0 Queensland. That's me, Duncan. Top try scorer. I've got Manu Vatavai.
I've got Lottie Tokiri.
Brett Stewart coming back.
Does anyone remember who Matt picked?
Does anyone remember who
that
Matt picked?
That's a very good question.
He did Fifi Lower.
Backed on how well he thinks as long Cowboys
as well,
are going to go.
As long as well, he gets actually gets into the team, he thinks the Fifi Fo Fumster will
which
take
we,
out.
Which we think would be great if that
it
happens.
It would be great. Player of the Year Award. Now, this one can either apply to Dally M, which is meh, or the NRL Tweet Player of the Year Award, which is he.
NRL Tweet Player of the Year.
Player of the Year, Warwick Nicholson, will be Benji Marshall.
Benji Marshall from Dave.
Hayne Train from Nick.
Matt has gone Jonathan Thurston, based on the strength of them making the minor premiership their own in 2010. Still can't get over that. And I've taken, I was going to take Benji Marshall, but in the interest of making things interesting, because Dave stole him from me, I'm taking Matt Orford from the Canberra Raiders.
Yes.
I think his impact on that team will be a big Dally M vote getter. Grand finalists, ladies and gentlemen.
Dragons, Tigers.
Matt, he has Broncos, Tigers, and I have the Tigers and the Raiders. Now, the big one. Premiers in 2011, Matt. Matt would say that the Broncos will win.
Dave, of course he would.
Dave and Nick are both saying Dragons.
Heck yes.
And that's because you're Dragons fans, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, just making sure. And Matt is a Broncos fan.
The best team.
Yeah. I actually think that the West Tigers will take out the premiership. That trio of Farah, Marshall, and Sheen.
They don't. Living in Glades,
they got another one. They got another one on their thing. So after the break on Not the Footy Show, we will wrap up what has been a highly entertaining but ultimately annoying podcast in our 2011 preview.
Robbie Farah had the best year of all time. He surely should have won.
No, hang on. You've got to say. Hang on.
2010.
Hang on.
Not the Footy Show.
So in 2011, everybody, we've got our tipping comp and we have our fantasy league. Please get over wnicholson.com. How does that address go again, Dave?
wdnicholson.com.
No H's.
wdnicholson.com. Plenty of NRL information throughout the year. And you can enter our tipping comp, which is based through the Daily Telegraph website. The simple reason for that, people, is they can give you prizes. We can give you prizes. If you win our tipping comp, which is about 50 strong at the moment, you'll get a Not the Footy Show t-shirt. And
what was a?
A chup.
Not a chup, bro. You'll get a Steedon match ball. So that is there for the winner of the tipping competition. So a little bit of an incentive for you to get involved there.
We might even sign it for you if you're lucky.
Get on wdnicholson.com.
The code for the tipping comp is 446386. That number again, Dave?
446386.
Dave and Nick?
One more time. 446386.
That's on the Daily Telegraph tipping website.
That's gold, Jerry.
Our fantasy league.
Of course it is.
It's just tries for a bunch of tables. You got to pick a fullback, two wingers, etc. But you've only got to pick players from each table. It's a little bit different than what you normally get on NRL.com, etc. And you have three phases through the year, rounds 1 to 8, then through Origin, and then the back end of the season. You've got to pick your team. You can't change your team throughout each phase, which adds a little bit more interest.
It does.
Get over to wdnicholson.com and enter.
The phases are round 1 to 8, round 9 to...
Round 10, we actually don't have any round 9 because of there's a shortened round
of course.
That week.
Round 10 to round...
That's about round 17, round 18, round and then we have 19 to 26 for the last bit. But there'll be prizes for that, Not the Footy Show t-shirts for each phase winner. It's a very good way if you've ever wondered about playing fantasy football and you go,
it's a good way to get into it.
Completely different.
It's not as
pick a team, watch team.
Yeah, that's it.
And, tries and goals, people.
Yeah, and field goals, which may be the key parts in separating teams at the end of the season. So please get over to wnicholson.com. There's going to be injury list update there, which will be the most up-to-date one on the internet. Previews, reviews, all the stuff you want to
great
follow.
Great stuff.
Fantastic website. Do not do your fantasy or your tips without having a look at it.
That's excellent, boys. Thank you. You're paid money later on for that beautiful plug. And after the break, we'll wrap up Not the Footy Show season preview.
All right, got an absolute expert next to me now. Young man, who is going to win the competition in 2011?
Canberra Raiders.
Who's your favourite player?
Not
so sure about this one.
Glenn Buttress.
Not the Footy Show.
All right, everybody, that's Not the Footy Show, episode 50.
Half a century.
This one has been emotional, Nick.
This one has been.
You often say this is emotional, but
I feel like we've bonded, though.
It's
brought us closer.
That's true, yeah.
Through adversity and technology. Oh, take it, boys. I can't speak.
He's devastated. He's crying in the corner. He's in fetal position. He's rocking. It's not pretty, people. It is not pretty.
Oh, how good is this?
We do apologise. It will be a lot better next time.
That's the most disappointing thing. This is our preview. This is our flagship.
The only time we can do the preview
and getting us all in the same place and the computer just stuffs up. It's very disappointing, everybody. But again, we apologise.
We're going to come back bigger and better.
More in-depth analysis.
Make the computer works next time. That's, I think, what we're going for. Look, it's going to be a big year. As I said, we've got Maria Cialis on the from Big League coming on the show each week. She'll be not only just talking about what's in the magazine, but just talking football, giving us her tips as well.
Yep.
So, we're again, get into that tipping comp because you're going to be against a lot of people. And that prize of number one tip, I mean, look at the trophy that we've got here.
Expensive.
It's golden.
It is. It's not golden. It's more like a silver
thing.
But it's good. It's quality.
It's gaff tape
the engraving
grade.
Of last year's champion.
Last year's tipping champion, I don't know who that was.
Engraved in permanent blue marker.
The fantasy champion was Stephen Zunder. He took out the one on the
crushed us.
The Fox Sports website. This year we're going to be having obviously three phases to win in that. But yeah, we've also got Nathan Ryan from Sports News First coming on the show. Brad Walter will be back on as well.
And in breaking news on Not the Footy Show, there's a very good chance that young Andy Raymond, the man from Fox Sports TV, will be joining us in 2011. For a regular or semi-regular segment talking about the big news and views in rugby league. So check out that as the season progresses.
Hoping to talk to some players throughout the season and just make it a bit more interesting for you guys. Going to follow a definite pattern through this season, and that pattern is going to be possible if our computer actually works.
Does help.
It does.
A little bit.
Where's Patton?
Where's Patton?
Luke Patton.
We will bring back best names in rugby league history.
Oh, yeah.
It was a very popular segment last year. And the Eon Crossans, Damon Boobies of the world, you know, these kind of guys, Lee Nalangalangalai.
Yeah, Khalifa.
Khalifa, Fifi, you know, it just rolls off the tongue, that guy's name. So that's Not the Footy Show, episode 50. Again, I can only apologise, everyone. This is the situation we're in, but we are wrapping up the show. So, boys. Leave us with an image of what you think is going to happen in 2011.
We're going to have a great season this year. Don't worry about that.
It's Dragons, that is.
The Dragons are going to win. Oh, no, well, the whole comp is going to be great. You can't underestimate that. It's going to be a strong, strong season. We're going to be here all year. You league lovers are going to enjoy listening to us. And, until then.
Enjoy listening to enjoy. Us. That's a bold statement.
Well, okay. Well, I'm hoping. I'm assuming. Okay. Well, fair enough. I'll take it back. But let's hope that you guys enjoy listening to us.
So we're going to have the NRL Tweet Player of the Year back again in 2011. So if you're interested in voting on that, send me an email via the website. The Rugby League Almanac will be out next week. So look forward to that, as will be Rugby League World Predictions in a magazine you can get online at totalrl.com. And Nick, I'll leave the final word to you, my friend. It's been a pleasure. I've been Warwick Nicholson.
I've been Dave Chapman.
Nick, take us out.
Mac, Nick and Ernie.
Any
words of wisdom?
Way to let us out of the show. Anytime you like.
So, say something about a chip brew.
I've talked about chips a fair bit, brew. Drawing blanks, brew.
Come on, Adelaide, man. That's what you said you were best at.
Yeah, I know, but I've used it all. The river's run dry. Was, man, I think we should finish on this note. It's time for a new computer. Update, dude.
Yeah, it is.
This is true.
Unfortunately, as a way of reminding me when my computer stuffs up, it just plays this sound, and that's what we'll leave you with on Not the Footy Show's season preview. This is the error message that comes up every time we stuff up.
Almost worth having an error, though.
Make sure you check out our really short version of this podcast on the video. It's on YouTube/NSC videos or on wgnicholson.com.
Not the Footy Show.
I was born and spawned on this game in Bay 13, selling and eating Dixie ice creams, but I'm concerned for the game and the next crop of broadcasting puppets. Yes, you, Ferret.
Not the Footy Show.